وقل رب زدني علما.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, إن شاء الله we have the class from the book كتاب البلوغ المرام chapter 6 باب نواقض الوضوء, the nullifiers or the nullification of wudu, ablution means what breaks the wudu. باب نواقض الوضوء. قال المؤلف رحمه الله عن أنس بن مالك عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على عهده ينتظرون العشاء حتى تخفق رؤوسهم ثم يصلون ولا يتوضؤون. أخرجه أبو داود وصححه الدارقطني وأصله في مسلم. نارير أنس, may Allah be pleased with him, the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his lifetime used to wait for the Isha prayer, for the Isha night prayer, so much so that their heads were lowered down by dozing. They would then pray without performing ablution. Reported by Abu Dawud and Ad-Darqutni, greater, it's sahih, authentic. Its basic meaning is in Muslim. So in this narration, that the companion of the Prophet ﷺ used to wait Isha prayer and sometimes used to fall sleeping, but still used to go and pray. As there's another hadith showing that sleeping breaks the wudu, some of the people of knowledge said, in order to understand these two hadith collectively, it means that when they sleep and they pray, the kind of sleep they had was not deep. It was not deep. It was a kind of sleep they can understand if they break the wudu, in order to combine both hadith. So whoever says any kind of sleep is not nullifier is wrong. And whoever say all kind of sleep is nullifier is wrong, in order to understand this hadith collectively. قال رحمه الله عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت جاءت فاطمة بنت أبي حبيش إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله إني امرأة أستحاض فلا أطهر أفأدع الصلاة؟ قال لا, إنما ذلك عرق وليس بحيض, فإذا أقبلت حيضتك فدعي الصلاة, وإذا أدبرت فاغسلي عنك الدم ثم صلي. متفق عليه. نارير عائشة, may Allah be pleased with her, فاطمة بنت أبي حبيش, بنت أبي حبيش رضي الله عنها, came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, O Messenger of Allah, I'm a woman whose blood keeps following even after the menstruation period. There are some women that their blood keeps following, never stops, whole month. She said, and I am never purified. Should I therefore abandon the prayer? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, for that's only a vein, means blood from a vein, and is not menstruation. So when the menstruation comes, abstain from prayers. And when it ends, wash the blood from yourself and then pray. Agree upon. Al-Bukhari has, قال إمام البخاري رحمه الله, وللبخاري ثم توضئي لكل صلاة, وأشار مسلم إلى أنه حذفها عمدا. Al-Bukhari has then performed ablution for every prayer. Muslim indicated that he dropped this addition deliberately. So in this hadith, that the woman who has this istihada, the blood keeps flowing It doesn't stop. What should she do? The day she usually had the menstruation period, she stay away from Salah. The rest of the days of the month, even though that blood is coming, still she continue praying. She should pray. Because that's normal blood. Normal blood. It's just like a blood comes from your hand. The same thing. But what she should do, she has to make wudu for every new prayer. Means Maghrib, she has to make wudu for it. Isha, she has to make wudu for it. And then between that, she pray any salah she wants. But the five prayer, every prayer, she should make a new wudu. And when she, before she make wudu, she clean herself. And she cover where the blood is coming so it doesn't reach the ground. And then she pray. Even if the blood is coming while she is praying. Just like someone who has salisul bowl. Somebody who the urine is coming all the time. Somebody, one of the nullifiers of wudu is coming all the time. Still that person has to pray. What should he do? He make wudu whenever every prayer enters. If this person has difficulty in making wudu for every prayer, the people of Nahr said, can combine the Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha. Has a difficulty making wudu for every prayer. I think I need to review that issue of it means that the istihada, blood invalidates the ablution. That's why the Noble Prophet ordered her to perform a fresh ablution for every prayer. In some of the authentic narrations, it's mentioned that the woman in this condition, after completing her menstrual course, must wash the blood from her body, perform a ghusl, complete bath, and then return to the performance of her daily prayer. This is because istihada blood, unlike haid, menstrual bleeding doesn't prevent the woman from prayers. Inshallah, the issue of being allowed for the someone who have salisul bowl or istihada to combine the dhuhr and asr and combine maghrib and isha, inshallah, I will review that. I will double check that. I may be wrong. I think I mix with another masala. Inshallah, I will check it. Inshallah. Next narration: وعن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه تعالى عنه قال كنت رجلا مذاء فأمرت المغداد أن يسأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فسأله فقال فيه الوضوء متفق عليه واللفظ للبخاري. ناريري علي بن أبي طالب, may Allah be pleased with him, he said I was one whose madi urethral discharge, I may be saying the wrong way, followed readily. Hence, I asked Miqdad to ask the Prophet ﷺ about it. The Prophet ﷺ said one should perform wudu ablution in this case. So, usually the madi is a white water like lubricant which oozes out involuntarily at the time of sexual desire or foreplay. This urethral discharge invalidates the ablution, but is not a cause of obligatory bath. So, madi is what comes from the man or the woman when person, as the Sheikh mentioned here, when person is in a state of sexual desire or foreplay. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل بعض النساء ثم خرج إلى الصلاة ولم يتوضأ, أخرجه أحمد وضعفه البخاري. ناري عائشة رضي الله عنها, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم kissed one of his wives and went to pray without performing ablution means fresh wudu, reported by Ahmad, al-Bukhari graded in da'if. Sheikh al-Albani authenticated it. This hadith confirms that ablution is not cancelled by touching a woman with or without lust. This is supported by a reporter of Imam Bukhari narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, the Prophet was praying in the darkness and I was laying at rest while my feet were at the place where the Prophet prostrated on his prayer mat. At the time of prostration, he would touch my feet and I would remove them. Next hadith. So this hadith shows that touching a woman doesn't break the wudu unless the person is charged the madi. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا وجد أحدكم في بطنه شيئا فأشكل عليه أخرج منه شيء أم لا فلا يخرجن من المسجد حتى يسمع صوتا أو يجد ريحا أخرجه مسلم. Narrated Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if one of you feels this disturbance in his stomach or doubts whether he has released some air or not, then he must not leave the mosque unless the masjid unless he hears sound, means it is sound, or smells a door, means it is a door. Reported by a Muslim. So in this hadith that if you feel the person feels something in his stomach and he doesn't know whether something come out, air come out or not, then in this case he disregard that doubt and he shouldn't leave the salah. He shouldn't consider breaking his wudu, whether he's in salah or outside the salah, unless he hears the sound or he smells. So no doubt. وعن طلق بن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رجل مسست ذكري أو قال الرجل يمس ذكره في الصلاة عليه وضوء فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إنما هو بضعة منك. أخرجه الخمسة وصاحب ابن حبان وقال ابن المديني هو أحسن من حديث بصرة. وعن بصرة ابن صفوان رضي الله تعالى عنه وعن بصرة بنت صفوان رضي الله تعالى عنها أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من مس ذكره فليتوضأ. أخرجه الخمسة وصححه الترمذي وابن حبان وقال البخاري هو أصح شيء في هذا الباب. سبحان الله. ناري طلقة ابن علي ما لا بيبلس وثم he said a man said I touched my penis and he said must a man who touch or he said sorry or he said must a man who touch his penis during the prayer perform wudu ablution? The Prophet ﷺ replied, no. It is only a part of your body. Reported by Al-Khamsa. Ibn Hibban Gray, it's sahih, authentic. And Ibn Madini said, Ibn Madini is the sheikh of Imam Bukhari. He said, it's better than the hadith of Busra, which follows this hadith. Narrated Busra, bint Safwan, Allah's Messenger ﷺ said, he who touches his penis must perform ablution. Reported by Al-Khamsa. And At-Tirmidhi and Al-Hibban graded is sahih, authentic. Al-Bukhari said it is the most authentic, meaning hadith, concerning this issue. So here you have two hadith. Hadith Talq and Hadith Busra. Hadith Talq shows that touching the penis doesn't break the wudu. And the great alim, Ali ibn al-Madina, rahimahullah, who is the sheikh of Bukhari, the Sheikh Imam Bukhari said, مَسْتَصْغَرْتُ عِنْدَ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَ عَلِيٍّ الْمَدِينِ. I never belittled myself before anybody, but before Ali al-Madini. So he was his Sheikh. Ali al-Madini, he said, this is the most authentic hadith. He said, this is better than hadith of Busra. And Imam Bukhari, he said the opposite. He said, hadith of Busra is the most authentic narration concerning this issue. Hadith of Busra shows that touching the penis break the wudu. Therefore, the people of knowledge they deliver this issue, and some of them they combine. They say whoever touches his penis for desire, it break the wudu, because now it's not a part of his body. But the one who doesn't touch for that, then it doesn't break the wudu. والله أعلم. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من أصابه قيء أو رعاف أو قلس أو مذي فلينصرف فليتوضع ثم ليبني على صلاته وهو في ذلك لا يتكلم. أخرجه ابن حبان وضعفه أحمد وغيره. هذا حديث ديسنا دويك حديث. ناري عائشة رضي الله عنها الله messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم هو ever vomits bleeds through the nose or releases مذي urethral discharge مذي yes should go away perform ablution and then complete his salah prayer by continuing from where he had stopped at on condition that he doesn't speak in the process. Reported by Ibn Majah, Ahmad and others graded it ضعيف, weak. So this hadith narration, this hadith is weak. This narration is weak. And if it happens, you break your wudu inside of salah, you don't continue from there, from where you start, rather you start from scratch. وعن جابر بن سمرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رجلا سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أتوضأ من لحوم الغنم؟ قال إن شئت. قال أتوضأ من لحوم الإبل؟ قال نعم. أخرجه مسلم. ناري بن جابر بن سمرة may Allah be pleased with him, a man asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, should I perform ablution after eating لحوم الغنم مهرم؟ He replied, if you wish so. Means the meal of the goats. He then asked, should I perform ablution after eating camel meat? He وسلم, said, yes, reported by Muslim. In this hadith, that eating camel meat breaks the wudu. Eating the goat meat doesn't break the wudu. The lamb, the beef doesn't break the wudu. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, من عمل ميت من غسل ميتا فليغتسل ومن حمله فليتوضأ. أخرجه أحمد والنسائي والترمذي وحسنه. قال أحمد لا يصح شيء في هذا الباب. نال أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said whoever washes a dead person should take a bath thereafter and whoever carries it should perform ablution. Reported by أحمد النسائي and الترمذي who graded حسن good. أحمد said that there is no authentic hadith in this chapter. So this hadith is weak. So someone who washed a dead person does have to take a shower, a bath, and someone who carried doesn't have to take wudu. وعن عبد الله بن أبي بكر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن في الكتاب الذي كتبه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لعمر بن حزم ألا يمس القرآن إلا طاهر. رواه مالك مرسلا ووصله النسائي وابن حبان وهو معلول. ناري عبد الله بن أبي بكر may Allah be pleased with them. The book written by Allah's Messenger وسلم, for Amr ibn Hazm also contains none except a tahir, pure person should touch the Quran. Reported by Malik as Mursal, missing link. Reported by Malik as Mursal, missing link in the chain after the Tabi. And by An-Nasai and Ibn Hibban as Mawsul, unbroken chain. And this is graded Al-Ma'lul defective. So this hadith, some scholar they disauthenticated it. They disauthenticated some scholar. So this hadith is about the one who is in janabah, and the one who doesn't have wudu shouldn't touch the mushaf. The meaning is sound. Someone who is not in wudu, he shouldn't touch the mushaf. Shaykh al-Albani authenticated, لا يمس القرآن إلا طاهر. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يذكر الله على كل أحيانه. رواه مسلم وعلقه البخاري. Nari Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, used to mention Allah's name, praise him at all times. Reported by Muslim, Al-Bukhari quoted it, Al-Mu'allaq, broken chain from the side of the hadith collected. This hadith is authentic, collected by Imam Muslim. Even if Imam Bukhari disauthenticated, rahimahullah ta'ala. So this hadith, the Prophet used to remember Allah, praise Allah all the time. The people of knowledge said this hadith is not applicable to one engaged in the act of sexual intercourse, answering the call of intercourse, the call of nature, urinating, etc. However, while one is in the state of impurity due to sexual intercourse, remembrance and pronouncing the name of Allah is permissible, but touching and reciting the noble Quran is prohibited, according to the majority of scholars. And some ulama, they say, like Sheikh Albani, yes, person can recite Quran all the time, but not touching it. وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم احتجب وصلى ولم يتوضأ أخرجه الدارقطني ولينه. Narrated Anas ibn Malik, the Prophet ﷺ had blood extracted from his body, hijama, and offered the prayer cupping, and offered the prayer, and then performed a new ablution, reported by Ad-Darqutni, who graded in layin week. That narration is weak. وعن معاوية رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم العين وكاء السهي فإذا نامت العينان استطلق الوكاء رواه أحمد والطبراني وزاد ومن نام فليتوضا. Narrated Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, may Allah be pleased with him. Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the Prophet Muawiyah, both him and his father Abu Sufyan, Sakhr ibn Harb, became Muslims at the conquest of Mecca. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah ala al-hidayah. Muawiyah, and may Allah be pleased with them, Allah's Messenger said, the eye, when awake, is the tie string of the anus to stop air escaping. And if the two eyes sleep, the string is untied. Reported by Ahmed and Tirmidhi. Who added, whoever sleeps must perform ablution. So in this hadith, that person, when he's not aware, he doesn't know what comes out from his. وهذه زيادة في هذا الحديث عند أبي داود من حديث علي دون قول استطلق الوكاء وفي كل الإسنادين الضعف. ولأبي داود أيضا عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما مرفوعا إنما الوضوء على من نام مضطجعا وفي إسناده ضعف أيضا. This additional warning is also reported by Abu Dawud in the hadith of Ali, without the wound, the string is untied. Both chains of narration contain weakness. And Ibn Abbas narrated, رضي الله عنه narrated, Al-Marfu attributed to the Prophet ﷺ hadith that ablution is necessary for one who sleeps while he is laying down. That reported by, while laying down means flat. Reported by Abu Dawud, there is da'if, there is weakness in his chain of narrations as well. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهم أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يأتي أحدكم الشيطان في الصلاة فينفخ في مقعدته فيخيل إليه أنه أحدث ولم يحدث فإذا وجد ذلك فلا ينصرف حتى يسمع صوتا أو يجد ريحا أخرجه البزار. وأصل في الصحيحين من حديث عبد الله بن زيد رضي الله عنه ولمسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه نحوه وللحاكم عن أبي سعيد المرفوع إذا جاء أحدكم الشيطان فقال إنك قد أحدثت فليقول إنك كذبت أخرجه ابن حبان بلفظ فليقول في نفسه. Narrated Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with them. Ibn Abbas and Allah's Messenger said, Satan comes to one of you to Salah, prayer, and blows air in his bottom. Consequently, he imagined that he has passed wind. Yet he didn't do so. So if he gets that feeling, he shouldn't leave, means his prayer, unless he hears the sound, means of passing wind, or smells, means it is error. Reported by Al-Bazzar. Basic meaning is in the Sahihain, Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd. Muslim has also reported from Abu Huraira a similar narration. So that shows that if you feel something, you pass gas and the like, don't leave the salah unless you hear the sound or you smell. And Abu Sa'd narrated in a marfu attributed to the Prophet ﷺ, If Shaitan comes to one of you and says, you have nullified your ablution wudu by passing wind, let him say, you have lied. Reported by Al-Hakim, Ibn Hibban also reported the above hadith with the warning, let him say within himself. Wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.